Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of sharing together in your word. I thank you for the gathering of your people in this place. I think of your church across the world and how we gather together. I know, Lord, there are some churches that are not able to gather together this week and even in our community, and I'm praying for them, for their leadership, for their well-being and health. And I do thank you for how you have cared for us as a people and allowed us, Lord, the privilege of continuing to gather together in this volatile climate of COVID-19. Lord, we thank you that this virus has not been a distraction for us from the central message of who you are. And I pray that you'd help us to continue to walk that. Lord, I know that there are those who are ill or sick or dealing with any type of sickness, whatever it might be. And Lord, they long to be here with us today. And I'm praying for them that, Lord, they know your peace today, that you'd minister and speak into their hearts through your word, that they would have the resolve and the purpose to expose them, their minds and their hearts to the wonderful scriptures. I pray, Lord, for each of us as we minister this week, as Christmas is a topic of conversation, as a reason of gathering together. And so, Lord, we want to be a testimony, a light for that true reason for the season, for Jesus Christ, who came as our Savior. And God, I pray that you'd help us as a people to be faithful this week in declaring that truth in whatever opportunity that we have. Lord, even as we gather with neighbors or family members or friends who do not know you, I just ask that we would be able to see opportunities come for us to share the glorious gospel, and that maybe this season would be the season that we would see them come to know you. I'm so glad we can pray that way, Lord. Thank you that we can pray with that kind of hope, knowing that you have given your life as a ransom for many. And so we, Lord, have been called to share the gospel. Thank you for the good news that has penetrated our hearts and opened up our eyes, that today we can stand here, we can sit here with hope, true hope, a hope that is secure in you. Yes, God. Oh, I pray for our young people. I pray that they would grasp this. Lord, that the vigor of their youth and the joys of these days while they're young would not overshadow the importance of the gospel in their life. Oh, I pray for our young people, Lord, that you would protect them from those that would want to lead them astray. And even now, Lord, I pray that you would bring to light any hidden sin that might be in our midst. I pray, God, that we would be a holy people, that we would be an accurate depiction of you, Jesus. So, Lord, help us now as we enjoy your word. Enrich our hearts, our spirits. We know you are here in this place. We know you go with us. Thank you for your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we celebrate Christmas, we have all sorts of different characters in our minds and stories that we tell. We have Luke chapter 2 or Luke chapter 1 and 2, and Matthew chapter 1, these passages that we will go to most commonly, and just remind ourselves of this beautiful Christmas story. As I thought through what to share with you today, I was curious about what Paul had to say about the Christmas story. Paul being the apostle. Paul didn't write any of the Gospels, so he didn't give us the narrative form of Jesus' life. God chose to do that through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Through Paul, God chose to provide instruction for his church, to provide application from Jesus' life and instructions to apply to God's people, the church. And in the midst of that, I was just curious of what Paul had to say about Christ's coming, about his birth. To what degree did he focus on that and mention that in his writings? As I looked through his writings, I very quickly realized that there is just a few very clear depictions of the Christmas story from the pen of the Apostle Paul. But there are many others that have a veiled reference to Jesus and his coming, and the significance of that specific event. Now, I know that all of Paul's ministry and who he is and the gospel he proclaimed is only true because Jesus came. And we know that and we understand that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is one of those places that I find interesting. As Paul makes a veiled reference, maybe you might not think it's so veiled, but a reference to Jesus' coming and the significance of it. And I find this to be a great exhortation for us as the church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's just pause there for a moment and consider what Paul is saying. Paul's speaking here of his ministry as an apostle. And this is certainly a ministry that is not easy. It's a ministry that is quite challenging. Hence the reference, "we faint not," implying it has its incredible challenges. He speaks of the hidden things of dishonesty in verse 2 and walking in craftiness, not walking in craftiness, because there are those in his day, as there are in our day, who live that way and who minister that way. Paul says he doesn't handle the word of God deceitfully, in other words, using it as a tool to make money for himself or to draw people away from Jesus Christ unto men. But he says in verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." There are people who are in a state of lostness. And Paul recognizes that as he declares the gospel, it is not always readily understood by all who hear it. He blames this upon the God of this world, in whom He works in the lost people. This God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Because he doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, to shine unto them. And so we see, as Paul's recognizing here, this cosmic battle that exists. There is the God of this world, who we come to know as the devil, Satan, who has blinded the minds of people, of them who do not believe. Perhaps as we think of this, we think of people who have names and faces in our life. People who have heard the gospel and yet don't get it, do not understand it, have chosen to not believe. This passage helps to explain why they do not see. You see, for us who have the privilege of seeing and knowing the glorious gospel and its fullness and its richness, it is difficult, isn't it, to understand why people reject it so readily. But yet, I dare say, many of us have been there, haven't we? Many of you might have spent years rejecting the gospel and running from God. You know, it's a thrilling thing to know that God pursues his people. He pursues after us. Paul in verse 5 says, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now verse 6 is where I found in my mind a veiled reference, but I believe a significant truth for us to keep in mind this Christmas season. Verse 6 we read, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so as Paul considers Jesus Christ, his coming, he considers and he thinks of it as the light coming into the darkness. He considers Jesus Christ as the one who helps us to know the very knowledge and glory of God. If I only had a great point at that, I mean, that would have been perfect. Anybody else's heart jump? So we have no idea what we were saying. No. All right, so verse 6, notice the theme there, light to shine out of darkness. God commanded the light. When do we first see that happening in the Bible? God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. We go back all the way to creation, don't we? And there's a consistent theme that we will see in the Bible. Very, very beginning of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. As Paul is writing here to this church, he makes this reference, I believe, to creation, which begins, I believe, a common theme throughout the Bible. God commanding the light to shine out of darkness. We see the light and dark theme in various places in the Bible. But we come to the Christmas story, and I find it interesting where you see that theme come forth. One thing might be not readily understood, but I believe it's important to see from history's perspective, is that as the Gospels begin, they are telling Jesus' birth, which is happening at the very beginning of the first century. And so these accounts are taking place some 400 years after Malachi has written, the last prophet. Now, there are events that take place, certainly in history, in those 400 silent years. But God's revelation to men during that time, to our knowledge and understanding, there was none. And so the light of God's revelation into the world began with Jesus Christ and his birth. Some of you reference Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist. And most of you probably are familiar with the story, but Zacharias was a priest, and it was his turn to go in and make the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. The Jewish people, from the time of Malachi up to the time when Jesus was born, had gone through political upheaval, rivalries in the priesthood, extreme persecution and battles at the hands of the Greeks and the Romans. And as you get into the Gospels further, you come to realize as well that their people, their religion, and their religious practice has been compromised with hypocrisy. And so in a very real spiritual sense, the nation was in darkness. And in fact, the prophet Isaiah even alludes to that in Isaiah chapter 9. And so the nation is in darkness. And what we see is God coming and now is bringing light into the dark world, which is the Jewish people and the Jewish nation, who are eking out a survival under the power of Rome, under the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, And so we find very little spiritual vitality, but we know there was some. And so the light of God's revelation is seen as God enters into this world, and he sends the angel Gabriel. I've never seen an angel, to my knowledge. But Zechariah, as he sees this angel in the Holy of Holies, it has quite an effect upon him. This was not something that normally happened to people, and it would be similar to like an angel coming and appearing to you. It doesn't happen, and you don't hear of it. But an angel coming, he must have known it was an angel, and of course he announces who he is. And angels bring messages from God. And so now into the darkness, God's revelation is coming, and we look at God's revelation as light. And God reveals his plan to Zechariah, you're going to have a baby, John the Baptist. Well, we know that Gabriel also appears to Mary and also to Joseph. And we begin to see that God is shining his light into the darkness. So we see the light of God's revelation. God is speaking to his people again. This is all God's doing according to God's timetable. Just as it was up to God to say, let there be light, and he chose when and how it was to be, so God down through history orchestrates when light penetrates the darkness. He understands the darkness of this world, but yet his presence is light. His word penetrating into our realm brings the message of light. I can't imagine how Zacharias and Elizabeth's life changed. God had revealed truth to them. How did Mary's, Joseph's life just change from what it had been before? God had revealed truth to them. Light was coming into the world. Paul says, "For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness." So, Mary and Joseph, they have the angel appear to them. And then, fast forward, the baby is about to be born. Jesus is about to come into the world. And they find the stable, and Jesus is born. And what happens in the dark skies around Bethlehem? They light up with an angelic message. A host of angels are proclaiming, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." And the dear shepherds, humble as they are, God shone light into their lives as it was depicted in the night sky. And so light shone in the darkness. And the message of God's plan was brought forth. You see, there is the light of God's revelation, God sharing his plan with his people. You know, God chose to send those messengers. It wasn't up to the angel band. God calls the shots. And God said when to go and where to go and to whom to go. And it is interesting that as the Bible depicts it, they came to those shepherds in Bethlehem. We don't know that anybody else saw this. You would think it would be noticed, right? But the Bible makes no other mentions of this. In fact, the angels tell this message, and then the shepherds, they go and start telling other people. This was for them. And this urged them to go and proclaim something that they didn't do. This was not their job. They were shepherds. But they had a message to proclaim. Because why? Because God shone light in the darkness. And this is what's happening as we celebrate Christmas. God shone light in the darkness. And don't miss the reality of what we're living in today, church. We are in the midst of a battle between light and darkness. We are surrounded by wickedness and evil. Yet God has his light that is still shining in the midst of this place. Who is that light? Oh, I trust you raise your hand. I trust we raise our hands to this, for we are this light that has been commanded to shine in the darkness. For what did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? He told his disciples, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus clearly understanding the importance and the theme and the practice of God down through the ages. Light will shine out of darkness. So Paul says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." So as we consider the Christmas story, let's make this personal. for what happened there in Bethlehem those many years ago, where God became man and took upon himself the form of a servant. Whereas John says in John chapter 1, light came into the world. So, Christian, God has shined a light into your life. And to you and me, and in the darkness in which we are born, he has shined a light in our hearts. As we celebrate this time together, make it personal. Don't miss that what God did in sending his son into the dark world, in the midst of a Jewish nation that was living in spiritual darkness. So he has done in your life and mine. He has shown the light. Oh, I trust you've seen that light, and I trust you have resolved to live that light, reflect that light to the world around us. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. A phrase that is packed with meaning. To give. Why? To give the light. Paul's understanding the purpose of his ministry, and I believe the ministry of all followers of Jesus, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. How do we give that light? It's in the face of Jesus. How does Jesus have a face? You might say that's a ridiculous question, but no, listen to me. Light shine out of darkness. Jesus is the one who came, and we understand who God is as we come to know Jesus Christ. You and I, as we take the message of Jesus to the world, we are helping them to understand the glory of God. It is the face of Jesus Christ. It is his appearance. And that, dear ones, happened at Christmas, that first Christmas a long, long time ago. Because God took on flesh and took on a body, and he had a form and he had an appearance, even though we may not know what that is like, and that is purposeful by God's design. We know that it is an accurate depiction of God's righteousness and of his glory. You see, it is necessary. It was necessary, and it remains so, that God take on human form and become a man, yet without sin, because God knew and understood that darkness was there, and because there was darkness, there is sin, and sin demands a penalty, and that penalty is death. And so we see the light of God's revelation and the light of God's plan of redemption. As you and I consider this Christmas, realize that not only has God shown the light of into your life, but he has done so that we might then reflect that light to the world around us. Paul continues in this passage by saying, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, our bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's interesting, God has chosen to use you and me, people, mankind, human beings, to declare this message. It is not up to the angels to do so. Not right now, no. It's us. Us in earthen vessels. It is up to us to proclaim this. And that puts more and more all the emphasis upon the power of God and not of us, because we're just people like everybody else. but we have an incredible message, that light shining in the darkness. Jesus came that we might have life. Paul continues, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. The perspective of the minister of ministry is, yes, we are dying for the sake of the Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. We give our all so that others might know Jesus. His life. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Paul explaining his ministry as an apostle. And it is a ministry that he is convinced he does so to his death. He does so because there is an extreme importance and urgency that people understand Jesus and that they see him living out a life of Christ-likeness. Because indeed, Jesus was our example, for he did give his life for all. And so the theme of a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is such that we have this light and we see this light that's shining in the darkness and we give our all so that others might know and understand that light. So knowing, verse 14, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, shall present us with you. You see, Paul's not concerned about dying and giving himself for the cause of the gospel of Christ because he knows and understands the power of the resurrection. And so we as a church and we as a people, as we celebrate Christmas, realize let's keep in mind our mission that God has called us to. Let's give our all for the cause of the gospel. Let's realize that there is more to this world. There is a world beyond that we only know a small bit about, but it is glorious and it's life eternal with the Lord. And he shall raise us up. For all things, verse 15, are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Listen, it's about the glory of God. In the Christmas accounts, you see the glory of God. As the angels declare the incredible message to the various people they appeared to. That night in the dark skies, the angels declare the glory of God in the heavens. But that was just the beginning. As Paul here is expressing that the abundant grace, that is the grace that is passed along from you to others through the message of the gospel of Christ. And as more people experience the grace of salvation through faith, they become thankful. And they express that thanksgiving to the glory of God. And so the choir grows louder. The song is amplified. As more and more and more experience the grace of God. And as they experience the grace of God in their life, they become thankful and they praise God. And it redounds to his glory. And you see the theme of light shining out of darkness. Light will not be conquered by darkness. Light is so often used to express glory and majesty. And so, as we read from the prophecies of the Bible, the world becomes increasingly dark, redeeming the time because the days are evil, Paul writes in Ephesians. And so the world heads in that direction. But we know that one day the heavens will open and the Lord will descend on a white horse. And this world will once again know the presence of the Lord here in this place. And as the heavenly kingdom is described, Jesus is the light, the source of light in that place. And so allow your mind to wonder over the theme of light and darkness, even in the Christmas stories. What about the star that the wise men saw in the what? The night sky. What about the song of Zacharias once his son was born? I want you to hear what he says. In Luke chapter 1, he says this at the end of his song, and speaking of John the Baptist, his son, "Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace." This was in his song. This was in his expression of praise. And the day spring, another translation, would be the sunrise at dawn. "It's visited us," he says. Oh, I trust you celebrate that this time, this season. For truly God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The world will never be the same since the Lord came that day and laid in a manger. The world has been changed. And God has revealed his person through Jesus Christ. He's revealed his plan of redemption, the solution for the sin that is in this world. So praise be to God. And we join together with Paul in being faithful ministers, as we know God has shown that light in our hearts. Let's give that light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's proclaim him together. Lord, it is so good to consider these truths, and I enjoy this perspective. It's a different perspective. But I know that Paul, your apostle, understood the importance of this, of your son's birth. And I thank you for reminding us today of these significant truths. Thank you for revealing your person, revealing your plan to us. And I want to pray once again for your people, for us together, that as we go forth throughout this week, that we would be faithful messengers and depictions of the light of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.